All right, well, welcome to the Monday morning Gamers of Coffee podcast. It's a beautiful day today in Iowa as we're driving here.
48 degrees, not bad.
Well, yeah, 48 degrees is a good day for us lately. So, but it's nice and sunny. And then there's the whole work thing that's always great, so yay. Now, Clint here was talking about with War Machine being kind of brought back to the forefront there.
Yes.
So War Machine's website. Well, first of all, I guess I should back up. Clint, you were saying they had all these factions, right?
There's five
factions.
Major factions, and then there's still technically a mercenary group.
So you could choose from six
technically
groups
six, yeah.
to play with.
Yeah.
So what Clint was telling me earlier is that I guess a friend of ours, D, went to the website. But apparently on the website you can take a quiz to help you choose what faction would be better for you to game with.
Yes.
Is that correct? So, that I find is a really interesting concept. I don't think anybody else has done that, really, that I know of. Do you, or?
That's the only one I've seen.
The only one I've seen, that's kind of helps guide you to
it gives you an idea. At least you're not spending a ton of money on something you don't really like. You've got an idea up front.
So kind of just like job, the school guidance counselor in school to help you pick your job to make your way in this world.
Sure.
Except for not as much fun, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, you get to pick a faction, I guess. So
yeah.
I think I made a mistake. I picked the poor faction. I think that's what happened to me.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure I checked a different box, Clint, than what I got in life.
I don't know there. I think it's kind of dependent on your rolls, too. You know, we don't roll dice well, so.
No, there are some games where they don't work so well, so.
We need to find a game where low dice rolls are, like, the good. Then we would excel.
Then what would happen is you'd be like, yeah, here we go. I'm going to roll some ones. Oh, wait, why am I rolling sixes all the time?
Yep.
It'd be just the opposite of what you needed. That would be, that's what would happen. Yeah. But at least it's better than doing nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So you're also have been keeping us updated on the
Tripods, Triplanes.
Yep, by Aries. And so they're getting ready to ship that any time, right?
Facebook, I posted the photos of the one backer kit, which it's not the backer kit that I got. It's very close to the backer kit that I got. It just won't have all the extra planes or the extra aliens.
So you already have the planes, though. That's why I posted
them. No, I didn't back the one with all the extra planes because I didn't want them. We've got planes already, both between you and I. We've got quite a few World War I planes. So there was no real... I couldn't justify the extra $100 for the backing just to get extra planes that I probably would never use.
Oh. Well, now, I know you posted last night because I was busy with stuff, but I didn't get a chance to really look. So that's... Just at a glance, though, it looked like quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, there is. Well, and that's the Kickstarter stuff, so that's why there is a lot. Because there were a lot of the stretch goals that were unlocked, including all the World War II stuff, the card holders, which they showed you the cardboard card holders, which are awesome. I'm kind of excited about the card holders, too, because that's really going to help. Because it is the World War I, you are using the damage cards.
That would really help because, so are you using the same dashboard type of thing?
Sort of, because it's still going to use Wings of Glory World War I rules, just they've added the aliens, and from what I can tell, the alien will also have a dashboard and moves in the same manner where you're picking your movement, but you're doing other actions with the aliens that you don't do with the planes. Like, you've got a weapons resource, your management, do you want shields, do you want your laser? You're not flying, but you still have movement cards on how the things walk or roll. I guess one of them kind of has wheels for feet. So
I'll just be curious to see what kind of movements they could do.
There's a YouTube video from one of the cons that kind of shows some demo play, so you can see basically how it runs. I did also read an article that they were tweaking the AI rules, which means that you can actually play solo, just like in Fallout.
Now, see, that's a unique thing. I think you're going to start seeing more and more of these, because just like video games, you know, generally you have a campaign, or you can just play single player, right?
Yep.
So the same is finally coming true for some of these miniature games, like Fallout's quote AI. It was actually brilliant the way they designed that. I mean, you could honestly play against yourself and have a fair game without cheating. If you do what you're supposed to do, it's quite interesting.
Yeah,
they incorporate something like that, that'd be cool, because not everybody has people to game with, you know?
Yeah, or at least people want to try stuff out, so it lets them really do something. Hey, I want to see how this plane does, or hey, I want to see how this, you know, configuration with my power armor unit works, you know, whichever. I think that's brilliant that you can just kind of play test, and really, then you could proxy anything, not spend the money on miniatures, and then wait till you figure out a configuration, then buy what you want to buy. Now, with tripods and triplanes coming out, we really do need to acquire a map. So, I did find one on eBay for $27. I think I'm going to go ahead and buy it.
I was just going to ask you, about a map, because it looks like it would just be way better.
We're going to need at least one, because there are rules for bombing runs against the aliens that do affect if you have ground cards. There is also rules using the aliens versus, like, the anti-air guns and stuff like that.
Yeah, because those come in the box.
Yeah, they come in the starter box.
So
there is rules taking that into consideration and how to work with it or around it or, you know, against it.
Okay.
So really, I mean, they're taking an existing rule system and they're just tweaking it. Now, the thing that dawned on me earlier today while I was writing a review, I thought was kind of funny, is Wings of Glory is a historical miniature game. It is not a fantasy game.
No, it's not.
Everything is pretty much true to real life. Now they've added the aliens, which makes it a sci-fi game, except that it does technically make it a historical sci-fi game.
Yeah, they kind of took the War of the Worlds idea, and put that into
the
play.
The world,
It gave you, what they did is, you're right. Like, they took a historical game and they said, hey, you have all this historical stuff. You can also play just a fun sci-fi version, which is interesting because there's a ton of historical gamers. People don't realize it, but I've looked into it. Boy, there is some really hardcore, diehard people that do some beautiful paint jobs on their miniatures. And now those people may or may not, I don't know. You guys, if you're a purist, that's cool, but we just advise, hey, just try something too to have some fun. That's kind of what they did with this is.
Yeah,
these planes, they even maneuver the way that those planes did then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Each plane has different
movement. Different roll
and not all of them can move the same way.
No, I like that. Plus the damage deck being different depending on maybe the configuration of the weapon, plane's weapons. And you're going to see more of the missiles on the planes now. Two of the new planes coming out have rockets.
I see that. They got the old launch rockets that they would light and launch,
So that's going to be interesting. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm kind of over my Ares taking forever to get stuff done. I mean, I get why they did it. It's still annoying that, you know, there's no update stuff for World War II yet. But they're trying. I got to give them props. They're trying, and it looks like they're going to put out a really quality product. And I don't have to pay anything more for it because I already did. So that's kind of nice. You know, if I want a plane here or there, I might order from Miniature Market or something. But
I noticed that Ares does do, in my opinion, pretty nice work on their stuff. Like, it doesn't feel cheap or cheesy. And the color schemes are good, you know, because they have some alterations. But there are predominantly, like, you can look in the books and see in history books of photos that, yep, that's exactly how this British plane looked. Yep, that's how that German plane looked. Yep. I mean, you can see they've got it down.
Well, so, even looking at some of their Battlestar Galactica stuff that's coming, that hasn't released yet.
I've been wanting to get the one starter box there because, but it's $50. But I guess it's been out about a year.
Yeah, and there's.
I didn't know about it until like a month or two ago.
A lot more for it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So if you're a Battlestar Galactica fan, or you like X-Wing, this might be for you too, yeah. Because this is going to be their version of X-Wing, which might be pretty good. I've seen some gameplay on it. Looks pretty fun.
X-Wing is starting to kind of fade out here a little bit in this area. Yeah. It's not going away. It's not going to go away. You're not going to have X-Wing go away, but I've noticed a lot less people are playing it. I mean, War Machine kind of dipped here too, but everyone still sells enough to carry it.
Well, that's starting to come back. Some of this older stuff, like he's saying, BattleTech. Some of the stuff from way back is coming forward because people are just like, "Hey, man, I kind of miss playing what I did when I was a kid." And I mean, they're doing that with video games too. If you notice, they're starting to do some throwback games now. So you are, you've got options out there. You really do. You got quite a few options.
That's a good point. I know I got an update from Rebellion for the Xbox One that they're re-releasing Sniper Elite 2 and 3 in the Xbox One, so you don't have to convert the 360 game over.
Oh.
So, not that I'm going to rush out to buy it, because my version works just fine. But
I like the Sniper Elite games. So
I do, too.
I like the draft. The bullet travel, or whatever they call it. That's kind of cool.
They're critical. Yeah, camera views and stuff.
Yeah. Interesting.
BattleTech is becoming real popular now because it's the 35th anniversary. Catalyst has done this massive campaign to bring it back, and it's, you know, hardcore, old school rules with, you know, new school. So really, I'm excited about that. But I was talking to the shop guys earlier last couple days, and they're like, "Yeah, we can't get it. There's just nothing available. They're just
because it's selling sold out. Yeah, selling out too
but
fast."
But on that note, one of the article on Ares stuff, they were talking about the Aliens release. So I know I'm jumping games here a little bit. Sorry,
just
sorry,
a few.
Listeners.
It's a gaming podcast. It's okay.
The article said that they did a production run of the Aliens and then immediately had to run another production run because they did not have enough to fulfill the first Kickstarter orders.
So they severely underestimated.
They severely underestimated, which is a good sign. Now, that also means that I've seen July as the release date and August as the official ship date. Ares is doing solid by Kickstarter, and they're releasing and shipping all the Kickstarter stuff. Then they're going to release the stores.
Well, that's the way it should be. That, to me, that's the way it should be. Yeah. Those that wanted to, and I did not. I didn't have the money at the time. But if I did, when Clint did it, I would have also done the same, because people who are backing you on Kickstarter, those are the ones helping you build your company. Yeah. Those are the ones you really should say, okay, here you guys go. You guys should be first in line.
Yeah.
And then going to the stores, I mean, obviously, if they can't even keep up with the Kickstarter orders, they're just, that's good. That's a good thing now. So that's not bad.
Mm-hmm. And if it does push, I don't know if stores here locally are going to carry any of the Wings of Glory stuff. There's not a big call for it. I think what we should do with tripods and triplanes is when you get another Monday, and if I'm not working, or even a Sunday, we go down to Tempest when it's not a big tournament, and we'll play some tripods and triplanes, maybe do a demo for people.
I'd be down for that.
I think we should do that.
Just grab a table.
I know there are people at Tempest who are interested in the historic stuff and would be willing to give Wings of Glory a try, just in its own element, whether they want to use the Aliens or not. Because from what I understand, even if you get the Tripods and Triplanes book box set, it still has all the Wings of Glory rules. So you can just play Wings of Glory on that starter box. You don't use the Aliens.
Well, I think it'd be good to take two. Tempest, by the way, is just a local game store, that one of a couple in the area that we go to. So, but they happen to have an area where you can play. They let you play for free. So, and they get pretty busy. So, probably on a Sunday would be a good day to Because some of the, they have a huge magic group of people.
Tempest is not as much as, I mean, they do have some, but.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, I've been in there on some Sundays, though, where all their tables are taken up with guys with cards.
Yeah, but so, that's also Yu-Gi-Oh! As well.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! And stuff. So and the Pokemon, deck, the so. Deck building stuff is.
Yeah, it's big, and.
But see, those guys, they also get up and they look.
Yeah.
At what's going on, and so our goal would be to just give them the chance to see what some of the other gaming yep. is too, because I'm not against deck building card games at all. I mean, that's a huge industry and people enjoy it, but like I've said 100 times, I guess I'm just, we like don't want to miss out, so we try different games. It's kind of like pizza, right? You're not going to like every single pizza out there, but why would you stick with just one? You may as well try it and see if you like it, because they make hundreds of versions of it, so it's, you know, it's like gaming. I don't know. Yeah. I play video games, like I've stated before, and I've still got my Atari and Nintendo 64 collection, and I still break them out and game with them, but I like tabletop stuff, too. And occasionally, I'll do board gaming. Depends. I've kind of outgrown the Monopoly kind of thing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the good old-fashioned board games. There are a lot of families that just do board games.
Yeah, and I think that's great. They sit down as a family and do it. That's fantastic.
And we'll have to, at some point, have a discussion on board games that we like, for sure. There's probably a bunch that I like playing that you've either never played or even heard of. So.
You know, Clinton, I believe that. I believe there's probably games you've played that I haven't. I honestly believe that, so that's cool. And then Clint here has been working diligently on trying to get some of his D&D group recordings together. Yeah. He just hasn't had time with work, but that's coming, right?
Yeah,
you already got one game down.
Oh, no, I've got almost a month and a half worth of gaming play recorded. It's a matter of getting it to edit and save. And, in fact, editing is not the problem. The problem is really I'm losing the files as I save them. So right now, if I don't recover those first few games, there's no point in posting anything because, you know, we'll be starting in the middle of a campaign otherwise.
Yeah.
Ooh, windy out. And the water's still up quite a bit.
Yeah, the river's going down. Well, yeah, I guess we could call this the Bipolar Gaming Podcast today because we're everywhere. But
we are.
But it's cool. I mean, that's what it is. We're not the same as everybody else.
Time to be everywhere today. We're not, technically, neither one of us are working today, but.
Yeah, so our commute's.
Good opportunity. Well, we're commuting to other places. Like right now, we're going to the range.
Yeah, commuting out in the public areas and land and all that stuff. So.
Ooh. There's not much road here.
No. Some of these back roads are a little interesting.
Yeah.
It gives you inspiration for stuff, too. So.
Also makes you real aware of your driving. Because if I go off the road, I don't know, 10 feet either way, we're in the water.
Gamers with Coffee, the underwater edition.
Yep. This is the river edition.
Clint rolled badly. I said, what are you going to do? We're going to stay on the road or go in the ditch? And he said, let's roll for it. Well, we ended up in the ditch. I'm like, get rid of the damn dice.
Yeah, no shit.
Those are the wrong dice. We should not be in the ditch. Holy moly. Mm-hmm. Well, the water out there is really choppy. It's like a reservoir area out here, so kind of hard to explain. It's we drove past our work, and there's a little public area. I say little because it's 30,000 acres of public land. Which is nice in Iowa, at least your recreational money that they tax you for actually goes to
recreational things.
To recreational things, for the most part. All your hunting and fishing licenses pay for all this open land. So
yeah, that trailer's going to go under if they don't. It's getting kind of close.
So anyways, we will have to. You have the, oh my goodness, the mech stuff, right, for your war machine.
We should do
a video at one point and just have you kind of explain it. Because if it's an older game, I'm not quite familiar with it either. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who haven't heard of it. You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot have. But there's always people that don't know. So we should do that. Throw a game down. But
nice thing with War Machine, the starter box price point. Now you can buy, that is some, that Chubby road is, road. That is, that's not even a dirt road anymore. It's just sand.
Nice.
The car is not quite meant for that.
This isn't your Humvee?
No.
Oh, wait, you
no,
don't have one of those.
Yeah, why would I own one of those?
I don't know. But you have all this money to throw
away. Yeah, I never liked driving the Humvee in the military. I don't know why I would drive it in civilian
come
life.
Come on, they were comfortable.
No, no, they weren't.
Yeah, so...
So, the road noise changes on the recording. Oh, the road's closed up here. Big surprise. We were actually on a...
Dirt road.
What used to be a hard surface...
County road.
Dirt county gravel road. Now it's, well, kind of squishy. No, I don't think we're going to get stuck. I think we'll be okay. But it's not, yeah. I wonder if you could even get to the range at this point.
Clint, why did you bring the dice tray with you? Are we rolling as we go?
Yeah, you just set them in the dice tray. The motion of the car will roll for us.
Auto roll. Auto roll, people. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to cover there, Clint? Or?
Well, I mean, we can keep going. We got time.
Sure. We can keep chit-chat.
This is going to be a long one, and that's fine. Because we'll go back to War Machine real quick.
Okay.
Because we'll I got it. Slightly sidetracked by this lack of a road.
Well, you're not getting through up here anyway.
So no, I'm going to just turn around, or we'll just take this other road back to the other town.
It's
a scenic drive at
this
point.
We should have just took a video of our trip.
Yeah.
Look at this, and people be like, wow, so they're not lying. They're in a car. Yes, yes, we're in a car. Yes, our commute episodes are done on the road.
Yep.
They're not done, well, we can't afford what you would call a studio. So let's just say they're not done in the front room or...
They were in a cemetery
bedroom,
road.
Bathroom, or whatever. This says...
Embargo ahead.
Embargo ahead.
Ooh, we're going in another country. Looks like they've shot the sign full of holes,
what,
too.
What? Embargo? Where are you taking me, Clint?
I don't know.
Somewhere
we don't have free trade anymore, apparently. Now we're really getting off subject. So, back to War Machine. The price point for the starter box, and there's two starter boxes. There is the Battle Force, the large starter box, which is $100. It comes with two complete armies.
Ugh. Yeah.
It would include, this one actually includes a Kador Force, and a Signar Force, and you get...
So, two different factions.
Two different factions. Okay. You get your Warcaster, which is basically your lead element, and then you get several Jacks and troop units. So, what you get for $100, not only is the rule book and the map and the little paper map, which is not the best, but it's not bad, dice, all that, but you get two relatively playable armies, I mean, and a lot of miniatures. I mean, it's really, for $100, it is worth the money. It's not a waster. It's, you know, if you...
I'd watch that.
...and one other friend want to get into War Machine, it's a good investment if you've got nothing.
Now, when you say Jacks...
Okay,
are
so
you talking about
War
those
Jacks
are
the big Macs.
Okay.
They're called War Jacks.
Because you said Jacks and troops, and I'm thinking... Mm-hmm. I thought you said those were the War Macs, or the... Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Macs, so...
So, basically the premise with... So, I should probably back up a second. War Machine is fantasy. So, there is magic. There is,
oh, there is
technology. It's just steampunk. So you have
magic that.
Makes things work. The Warjacks live and function because they're magical constructs. The Warcaster is basically a wizard, a combat wizard, if you will, who can psychically link to the Warjacks. And in some cases, certain factions can actually cast spells through the Warjacks.
So this is mechs mixed with Magic the Gathering and D&D.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
So
I didn't know that. I honestly did not know that the mechs ran on magic.
Your Warjacks basically have a steam-powered engine. They've got a giant boiler and a furnace, and you have to fill them with coal, stoke the furnace, the fire boils the water, and that basically powers the magical element. It uses the steam, if you will, to what's... They have this thing called an Arknode. It's what allows the Warcasters to control the Jacks. Now, there are other command units called Jack Marshals, which are basically trainers, if you will. They're able to get the Warjacks to function kind of the way you would train a horse or something, by giving it commands, and it will follow. But they can't cast spells through it. They can't get the Jacks to do their advance They just can kind of jack them, get the...
It's kind of like a leader.
Yeah, they're... I guess you would compare it, in a military term, your warcasters are your officers, your jack marshals are your sergeants, essentially.
So, true to form, then, the officers can't do much.
No, the officers are the more powerful ones in this case. Yes.
Oh, well, in this case, they can do more.
They can do a lot, because they can cast spells, they can, you know, they've got more advanced weaponry, they can control jacks. In most cases, they can control one to two... I think up to three warjacks is all that a warcaster can control. They have this thing called focus. Each warcaster has a certain amount of focus, which is represented by tokens. And you use that focus, that's your magical energy, essentially. Wow, this road is not any better. Holy cow. Good thing we're in an all-wheel drive car. People live out here in this road. Whew.
Actually, I wouldn't mind living out here.
No, I wouldn't mind living out here either. I could live with... if the road was the worst thing I had to deal with, then I'd be okay with that. Yeah.
Just need a truck.
Just real soft in areas.
We decided to get off the pavement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It cuts down on some of the road noise. And then the cars being
shaking. That's what I'm saying. This would be great to be able to have this video because I just hold the camera out and they can see, woo, look at all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, these people are lucky, so...
That's because they have money.
Yeah.
And there's these. This is a lot of horse farm area.
I say, look at all the horse fences.
You know, mostly
you
horse
have
farm.
Money to have a ton of horses like that too. So,
okay.
This highway is closed for
loads over 8 tons.
Oh, that's not us.
No, that's not us.
I know I need to lose some weight, but we're okay.
Yeah, I think we're.
I don't exceed 8 tons.
Oh, and then we passed a sign that said road closed ahead. High water.
We're probably just going to have to turn around at some
point. No, we should be in another town here in a second. This is actually going to be, should be Swisher.
Yeah, it should go through.
Yeah, we should hit where we can.
Up there?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, worst case scenario, we GPS it off the phone and figure out how to get back to the highway.
Yeah, there you go.
But.
We could figure it out.
Or
if we could figure out advanced rules on games.
Yeah, we could figure out how to navigate the terrain.
We can navigate the terrain, yeah. It's not a big deal.
No, I can see the highway off in the distance.
Is that what those cars are out there on? Probably, yeah. Way in the distance there.
Yeah.
So don't worry, people. We're not lost. We're just cruising.
Although they'd probably laugh at us if we were.
Well, yeah, probably you would. It's, another beautiful day. Yeah, because see this road here, Greencastle?
Yeah, Greencastle, yeah.
That would have took us back the other way, too.
And that does put us...
We just found a reference point.
Yeah.
So, looking at all this open field makes my mind jump to, like, World War II type stuff, which made my mind jump to very quickly, on tanks. Now, in Team Yankee, you can have mines, correct?
Yep.
There are mine tokens.
Yep. There are mines.
What I seen the other day, and this is not my idea, so I'm not taking credit for it, but in one of the other little groups, with the Gale Force 9 guys, somebody decided to take these little mine tokens are about the size of a nickel, basically, okay? And so then you'd measure out a distance around it, like 3 inches from center out.
Yeah.
So if your tank got too close, that would be the area in which the mine would detonate and cause damage. This guy, and this is going to sound dumb, but looks really good, is he took his tokens and glued them to the center of blank CDs.
Yep.
And then he decorated them or flocked them to make it look like mud and dirt and all that. So when you lay them on the table, you know, you can see exactly where the blast radius of those are. And I just thought that was pretty cool because, I mean, it looks weird until it's done, and then it makes sense. You're like, wow.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, my mind jumped because all these open fields make me think about mines. So
that makes sense. Kind of interesting that they made the rules that the minefield was pretty much the size of a CD. So I'm guessing that was the intention all along.
Well, that or they were going to build their own or make their own
terrain
pieces, and of course that's an industry standard size, so it'd be real easy to cast for them to cast something like that.
That makes perfect sense.
But I just thought that was pretty cool. He took the tokens, glued them in the center, and then just decorated around them. When you lay it down, it was just interesting. I thought it was kind of an interesting thing. So
yeah.
Sorry, my mind bounced on that too. But if you listen to this show, this is different than all the others. We're not, I don't know. We're just us. So when we chit-chat, that's all we're doing. And we bounce. That's
yeah,
true.
We do. We tend to get a little off on the games. So, yeah. Back to War Machine. So we got the big box at 100. Individual faction starter boxes are about $40. And they come with a rule book, a map, dice, miniatures, little blurb about the faction. So
real exactly good price enough point to get started, and that's a very good price point if it's $40.
Yeah, 40 is a good investment. So if you ever decide what faction you want, for an example, then you just grab one of the little starter boxes. Yeah, we'll end up with an extra rule book, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with having an extra rule book. That's actually a good thing, because what I'll do with the, if you end up buying a starter box or D ends up buying a starter box and we've got an extra rule book, I will take one of the little ones that I ordered and I will spiral bind them. I'll have them spiral bind it so it'll lay flat and we can just reference it real easily.
Yeah, you could take it to like one of the local stores and they'll do that.
Yep. Yeah. That'll make it a lot easier.
Store.
A lot easier, dude. And it's cheap. It's like $6 or $8 to spiral bind it.
It's pretty cheap to do that stuff. I mean, like,
not allowed golf cart travel on Division Street. That's awesome that there's a sign on the main street of town that says you're not allowed to drive golf carts here.
That's because this is a little town, so people probably drive whatever they want. That's cool.
Yeah, most of the time they're driving a tractor, so that's just funny. I find that hilarious.
Well, that's what we could do, the commute, golf cart days. We don't golf. That is one thing I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I have played miniature golf. I'm not going to lie. I've tried
that.
Yeah, that's
kind of fun. But
I never really got into golfing. I don't knock it by any means. A lot of people like it. I just haven't had a chance to
It's not to try my thing. It. And it's great if it's your thing. I think maybe we should let the fire truck go by.
Yeah, fire truck seems
This
to
is not a divided highway, so... There's no,
so you're going to so hear some siren probably coming up real quick here. Oh, that's not too loud.
No, it wasn't too bad. But windows are up, so cut down on some of the noise. I want to get a little more air in here.
So, anyways,
I really think you'll like the rule system for War Machine. Generally, on a normal battlefield, you're only running, if you run a squad of troops, you maybe have 5 or 6 troops. Then you've got your War Jacks and your Jack Marshall, maybe a unique character. So maybe you're running 10 miniatures, but nothing in the battlefield really dies instantly. I mean, the troops can be taken down pretty quick. But a lot of your bigger stuff, your War Jacks, your War Caster, your unique characters, they all have a damage chart. Now, you'll like this, too. The War Jacks, for example, on their damage markers, they have a box on their card. And the box is separated into 6 different columns.
Okay.
So you've got these little square boxes, and that represents the amount of damage. As the War Jack takes damage, you obviously mark off a box. You roll to see what column your damage goes to, you mark off your boxes. At the bottom of each one of those is your critical locations. So a lot of them will have 3 left hands, 3 right hands, your cortex, and your movement, which is your legs. And when those locations, when your 3 lefts or rights or whatever are completely marked off, you now lose useful function of that component. So if you've got a gun in your left hand, maybe your left arm is a big Gatling gun or something, and that left arm is taken out, you no longer have the use of that gun. It's gone.
So you could just destroy the mech a piece at a time.
Yeah, but you don't target a location. You have to roll randomly to see where it hits. Now, once a column is filled, it moves to the next column, and so on and so forth. So if you do damage to column number 5, and it only has 4 boxes, but you did 6 damage, then 2 damage will transfer over to column number 6. So on and so forth.
So let me get this straight. If you have a mech where you lose damage in the left arm and the right arm, all he can do is wander around in front of everybody. He's no longer a jack.
He's still a jack.
We nickname him Bait.
No, you don't. At least on
sniper
some
bait. Let him draw fire.
He doesn't, because warjacks, as long as they have functioning legs, can charge. And they can just slam into the opponents, because there is rules for that. That is one of the things I do love about War Machine. And when you have a giant monstrosity of jacks like I do with Kador, I've got jacks that don't have weapons. Like that Kodiak that I posted the photos of, he has no weapons. It's his fists. But he has an ability called Slam. I can spend a focus point, and he will just literally go, pardon my French, balls to the walls on an enemy model and slam into it for a ridiculous amount of damage. There is another warjack that Kador forces have that's arms are literally giant shields. And he just closes his arms together, and now it's a defensive shield. And getting through his armor, let's see, if I remember right, game-wise, he has a 22 defense, which most weapons do 6, and then you roll 2d6 to add to that. So even if you're rolling 2d6 and adding your 6 to it, you're only doing 18. You're not getting through his armor. He's okay. Just that tough. He's also very slow. He moves 4 inches. So the force that I played, which is Kador, which is basically your Soviet-esque forces, none of their jacks are fast because they're all big lumbering monsters. But they have an interesting thing called Man of Wars. And what there are troopers in armor suits with a steam engine. Now, don't roll bad because you'll cook the pilot alive. Literally, it's part of the game. You can burn your pilot a lot, boil him alive in his suit.
That's not good.
But they'll have shields with mortar cannons on it. They've got halberds that have explosive tip charges on them. Some of the new ones have guns over the shoulders now. They're like your Iron Man or your War Machine suits in Iron Man 2 or 3, where you've got the cannon over the shoulder.
Yeah.
Some of the Man of Wars have shields that on their arms that fold up in front and they can defend. So it's like a warjack, only a human pilot.
Huh.
Now, flip side, say, we'll go with Signar, for example. They're high technology, and they do a lot, and I do mean a lot, with electricity. Their stuff has area effects, so you hit a target with a lightning weapon, it will transfer to nearby targets.
So, in other words, if they're within...
5 inches, I believe.
It'll start zapping
everybody.
It'll zap everybody, yeah.
Anything within the 5-inch radius of the target. They take half damage, so they may only take 1 or 2 points of damage, but if that's a troop unit, that's enough to kill him. You could wipe out a troop unit real quick with something like that. Your Krix stuff or your undead. So they've got a lot of undead forces, and their warjacks are driven by a darker magic. So they've got some really nasty spell abilities. Your protectorate of Menoth, or your religious zealots, they have some really sick fire-based stuff. Everything about them is fire. They literally get... Their warcaster can get extra focus points by carrying these things with them called racks. They're just literally prisoners on racks that they bring onto the battlefield and siphon the life force off of them to give you extra focus to do stuff with.
That doesn't sound very nice.
No, they are evil.
That sounds bad.
they're a pretty twisted. I mean, they're basically the Crusades. Just long and short, they're the Crusades. But just worse.
Yeah.
Some of their stuff looks cool. Then you've got...
So there's a dark side to this game.
There's a very dark side to the game. The game itself is dark. Even the elves, the Retribution of Skaar, if I'm saying it right, they're the elvish community, whatever, their stuff is unique because it's futuristic looking, even though it's still modern technology, but their magics are different as well. And I'm not even touching on the Horde stuff, which is all the monsters and beasts that live in the world. The Iron Kingdoms itself, which is the world that War Machine takes place in, is just a giant continent with all this stuff living on that continent. There's a role-playing game called Iron Kingdoms, and it's a very fascinating role-playing. I love the role-playing game. And it uses almost the same rules as the miniature system, so everything can cross over. If you want to do the role-playing game, you can use your miniatures in it for your combat or whatever.
Okay.
You can actually use the Warcasters in the miniature game as player characters if you so choose.
Wow, Clint. So you save this information till this far into the podcast, so those that are still listening just glean knowledge.
Yeah, I know.
Knowledge.
I'm efficient like that. No, not really. We just had that opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, no. I'm learning a lot, so that sounds pretty in-depth. Actually, the crossover to the role-playing, that's interesting.
The War Machine world, initially on its start, 2007, 2008, when it came out, it was two or three guys who used to work for Games Workshop that were fed up with Games Workshop, which I don't blame them, considering the way Games Workshop was out then. So they started War Machine. War Machine actually comes out of, I think, New Zealand. So they started this fantasy miniature game, and you've seen the comparison photos for the miniature sizes. You know, I kind of show what's what. So it's a very similar scale. War Machine is 32 millimeter. Technically, Fallout Wasteland Warfare is 32 millimeter, but if I put the Wasteland Warfare character in power armor next to one of those jacks, it's going to dwarf that power armor like it's nothing. The best comparison is the Fallout's X-01 power armor, which is the big suit of power armor that you can get in Fallout 4, and I think in Fallout 3 too, is the same size as one of Kator's Man of War suits.
Okay.
So the jacks are just even bigger.
So some of them are very large.
Yeah, well, models. And that's so you've seen the photos of, like, my behemoth, because Keegan is a little in fear of that thing. So that is a large jack. That has two actual artillery cannons on its shoulder, plus all its missile weapons. There are jacks that are bigger than that called Colossals. So it's a $100 miniature. So, you know, your son's ship in X-Wing, his big...
Oh, yeah, Ash's brother, the Star Destroyer. Brother.
Yeah. So just imagine a jack in equivalent to X-Wing.
Destroyer.
That's what these Colossals are.
So they would just plow through literally.
They just walk through the battlefields. But each faction has a Colossal.
So then it's balanced if every faction...
It is, yeah.
It's just a matter of whether the player has the opportunity to purchase one to use, basically.
Right, because, I mean, at $100 per miniature...
Yeah, that's kind of...
And the point cost on it is high. So you're running a big game to actually field that Colossal anyway. But that's why you need the new rules, and that's why I got us extra copies of the new rule book, because that has the rules for those. Also, some of the factions, like mine, have a war wagon. It's a horse-drawn armored wagon with guns. So it's also rather large.
Huh.
So it's really cool, but there are others. Signar has walkers. They have these walkers that that people stand on top and fire arcs of lightning from the troops that are on top of it, fire off lightning arcs.
Well, it sounds like a pretty...
It's an
interesting... complex, slightly bizarre world.
It's
with a
different.
Dark undertone. It's different, yeah.
It's different, and it's going to be a financial outlay like Warhammer is, but you won't have as many miniatures. That's the one nice thing about War Machine. You're not going to have 150 miniatures to your army.
Well, if you can start with $40 then game, then you're okay. If you expand, it's like anything else. I think that's why some of these companies are coming out with the $40 to $50 price point, just because... Video games are going to cost you, if you're a parent, you're going to spend more than that on a video game.
That's
so
true. And
if you're listening going, wow, they're talking about $40 for this or $100 for that, you got to remember, look at the games. I mean, $100 for the games, $99. Downloadable content for the year, $49.99. That means you spent $150 on a plastic disc.
Yep.
You know, and you can play the game, but then when the game's over, that's it. There's not really, the downloadable contents are cool. It gives you extra areas to plan, but it doesn't really... It's not the same. You can't do as much. So, I mean, price-wise, what they're doing is they're competing with the video game industry.
Yeah.
And so that's good, because for those that say you can't afford it, then... That's understandable, because honestly, me and Clint are not rich people. We literally live paycheck to paycheck. We just try to take 10 bucks here, 15 bucks there, and then, you know... When you get enough, you go get some. But
And you said it before in the last podcast, anymore video games are pretty much dependent on the internet.
Yeah, they are.
So,
well, and I think what's missing with gaming is, it's just like, look at cell phones. Everybody's face down. You're in a room. There'd be 20 people in a room. Everybody's got their face down the phone. Nobody's talking. This is what's happening to society. Families don't game together. They don't sit down together. You know, I mean, that's kind of sad, because that's part of living, is spending time with the people you care about, right? And the people you love, whether it's your friends or family. So sitting down and doing any tabletop game, it does not have to be miniatures. It can be, you know, chutes and ladders. It doesn't matter what you're playing. But if you're spending time with the people you care about, you're interacting with other human beings. You're not just lost. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how I look at it. I think gaming is good. Video games are good, too. I don't know. I just kind of like playing with others. I mean, I remember when split-screening was multiplayer.
Yeah.
I remember when James Bond came out and you could put four people on one screen, and that was amazing technology on a Nintendo 64. For some reason, they can't do that today. I'm not quite sure why, because they don't want to, but you could sit and play with your friends in the room. You're still interacting with other people, but I don't know, you know. People don't even seem to talk anymore. They stare at their phones and text. They don't communicate like we do. We sit here, maybe our podcast is a little bit different, because we're not focusing on just one thing all the time or something to that effect. But this is how we interact. We just kind of be in ourselves. So, well, I don't know. So if you have a chance to game, and hey, I'm all for multiplayer online gaming too. You got friends, do that. Just spend time with other people, because the world's a crazy place, man. A lot of stress, and life is not very long. So you may as well enjoy it, some of it. It's not all work, right, Clint?
No.
Can't be. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
You know? So we all need jobs, but I don't know. Look at the other side of the coin once in a while is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Try a few things. Like, I'm going from video games to miniatures and tabletops, and one of the other things I'm looking at is some of the historical gaming, like way back, like the Roman gaming or Napoleon-type things or Civil War. There's so many areas I'd like to just try, like not be just stuck in one area. So,
damn, you haven't really even delved into RPGs yet. The actual pen and paper.
Not really, yeah. And see, that's the other thing, and that's why Clint's working hard to bring something to you guys. We're just going to have to upgrade the podcast, because
yeah,
there's no way with what we get is a couple hours to do this with every month. Otherwise, honestly, it's a $100 upgrade to a $350 upgrade. You know, it starts costing sincere amounts of money to do this. So, but in order to upload that, that's what we're going to have to do, so you guys can get in on that too. So, which we don't mind, I guess. It's just when you're poor, it's difficult.
Yeah, once I can get the D&D stuff edited and get it where I can retrieve it and post it. I mean, I've got right now a month and a half's worth of gameplay sitting on the laptop that needs to be broken down into 45-minute episodes or something, and start podcasting, or 30-minute. I haven't decided yet. Then you guys can just follow along with what our gaming group's doing.
You
can kind of see how everyone's interacting and follow the story. It's sometimes a little chaotic, and other times, like last night's game session or Saturday's game session, was pretty much almost all combat.
Well,
but there was some cool combat.
Well, and our gaming, too, is going to be a little different. We don't have, quote, a sterile environment. So a couple of the videos we've done, you'll hear people coming in and out. I mean, we're family, and we're friends.
Yeah.
We're gaming. So you may, on a video, see one of the kids walk by, you know, because they're going to the refrigerator to get a soda or something. So it's just, we don't have a, quote, studio. We're just doing what normal people do. So that's how we're different. We're not trying to alter it and sterilize it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
definitely we're my just, audio recordings are going
to be we're trying to
extra
be
things.
We're trying to be nice. We're trying to keep it clean.
I'm removing some of it.
Family-orientated and trying to leave politics and all that stuff out of it, so you can just enjoy gaming, because that's the point. But But it's real life, so you're going to hear the vibration in the car because we're not sitting at a table at the house going, ooh, Clint, let's pretend to drive down this road. No, actually, that's where we were.
Yeah.
You know?
We actually going on a nice country drive today.
Yeah.
We had the opportunity, so.
Yep, and tomorrow it's back to work, Tuesday through Saturday for me. Yay.
Yeah.
So, it's been nice. So, look at that. We hit the 50-minute mark.
Oh, nice. This is our biggest one yet.
Yeah,
people are going to be like, what's wrong with you? What the?
We drank too much coffee. Well, who's honking that? They're not honking at us.
No, I don't think they're honking at us.
If they were, it doesn't matter. They'll get over it.
No, I'm not in the wrong here. So.
We're in the correct lane, so it's all good.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. Thanks for explaining the Warjack thing there.
Yeah, I think once you see the books, which should be here this week, I think you'll kind of like it. And once you really read the rules, you'll find it is pretty simple. There's also, they do a great, great, great tutorial video on how to play. They put it out, not somebody else. It is put out by War Machine themselves. Privateer Press is the one that owns War Machine. They literally do an entire battle, and they walk you through all the rules.
Now, see, that's worth it there. If you can be walked through it, that's cool.
And the neat thing with what they do is it's not just, here's a battle, here's who does what. It will go into over-the-camera views with arrows and markers indicating how range works, line of sight. I mean, it breaks it down into this, and it breaks it down beautifully. I mean, you can tell it's a very scripted battle. It's very designed specifically for certain events, but it really does touch on this, this, or this.
Well, they would have to script it to an effect to show you how to get through it. Without it being overly complicated or side, you know, going off on a different thing. So if it's straightforward and scripted for you, then that's cool.
That's that definitely works. If your wife especially wants to get into it, I suggest you guys spend the 45 minutes and watch the video, which we could definitely post a link, I think. I'm not sure how that works.
What? Oh, we could put a link up. I could put a link up on the main page of this.
To the video itself. It's on their. It's on War Machine's main page. It's just under the How to Play.
I'll put up a tab if you guys look on the front page. I'll do that today. It'll just be a little tab that'll say links. Yep. We do have the YouTube link on the bottom.
Yeah.
To the right, the way this Podbean is set up. So the Facebook group is there too. So if you guys would like to subscribe, that'd be awesome. And then just spread the word. And we'll leave you at this because our drive's almost over, too. It is on TuneIn, which is a podcasting service. And it is also on Google Music, which, and I believe it is free. I never set any prices for it, so there shouldn't be. And well, that's that. Thank you for listening. We did it almost an hour.
Yeah.
Well, alrighty. Anything else to say there, Clint?
Nice roof's coming off.
Oh, yeah, that guy's roof's blown in the wind.
That's funny.
Sorry, sidetracked again.
Yeah,
it's coming down the street. There's somebody's roof's just flopping. I guess it's not funny for them, really.
Yeah.
But just, you're like, really? I just seen that. You're driving. If you look around, you just see all sorts of stuff. So,
this is true.
That is very true. All right.
Cool.
I will catch up with you guys later. Clint, are you out too?
Yep, I'm out. We're good. All right.